Happy Friday, Clipper Nation!
We made it.
It's, oh man, I've been waiting for Friday all week.
Whew. Everyone's working for that Clipper weekend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content you can handle. If you're new to the show, thanks for coming in, man.
Welcome.
You can expect a solid mix of sports talk and, a little out there talk.
Yeah, wipe your feet. Don't take your shoes off, leave it on. It's a flop house. It's just a place to flop.
Yeah. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It is Friday, which means we're going to be doing a Love, Marry, Kill. We do it every single Friday.
Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's serious. This one's both.
Yeah. we also generally do a Pacific Division Power Rankings every single Friday. However, since no games are being played, these are going to be some more theoretical rankings.
Yeah, these are some...
A mix.
These are some dynamic duos.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Of the Pac-Div.
Power duos of the Pacific Division.
There's a couple.
And we're going to kick things off, though, with a little bit of roster talk. We still have, I believe, two roster spots open.
Yeah.
There's some names out there.
There are technically some players still available.
And then we got a great question from a user on Twitter, which, hey, if you want your question answered on the air, don't forget to get at us. That's at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We'd love to hear from you.
Come through.
All right. Without any further ado, let's do it.
So we're talking some last roster spots.
Okay.
There's really just not a whole lot out there.
Boy, I see it. There's two spots left. There's two dudes on this podcast. You connect the dots.
Throw us on. So here's just some names. This isn't everyone, but these are the guys who it seems like we might have interest in. We got Trey Lyles, Kyle Korver, Trey Burke, Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, and Dwight Howard. Do you kind of think we just stand pat at 13 guys?
I would.
This list is like, so out of this list, I think I like Pau and Trey Burke the most.
Yeah, I like Pau, and I'm still open to the Dwight Howard experiment.
Yeah. I think I'm a little more open than I've been recently.
I also just think if it wasn't working out, they would 100% waive him.
Just cut him. Yeah, for sure. Waive him. Yeah. His desire at least seems there. He's going on his PR tour has been very well done on his part.
Yeah.
He's saying all the right things.
Yeah.
But I get wary when someone who's always said all the wrong things is suddenly saying all the right things.
That's a fair concern. I mean, you don't know what to expect.
Trey Burke, I like as a fit just for pick and roll.
Yeah.
He's a good pick and roll guy. Our second unit obviously runs the pick and roll a lot. so he'd be a good fit. But like
Kyle Korver, I don't really see what we would need him for.
We can't play him in the playoffs. He's one of those guys where it's
and
like,
we just have scorers, so yeah. It's just not really like, and we have shooting, so it's not that big of a, it just doesn't raise anything really for me.
Yeah. And Burke would be good in the spacing. Pau, I think I want more from a leadership perspective.
I want Pau more if we, you know, like our intention is to roll with Zubats. So
seems to be.
I mean, I think having someone, I think, yeah, having an all-time great
passer.
Yeah.
That's what I love from it, is that his Zubats passing would get, theoretically, so much help.
Yeah.
From someone like Pau.
No, I love that one. That jumps out at me the most. And then, yeah, like I said, I'd be down for the Dwight Howard experiment. I don't think, though, that we pick up anybody at this point.
Yeah, is it bad to just run the 13 guys we have? Because we have, like we said yesterday, we're 10 deep.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, we obviously didn't play everyone last year on the roster.
Yeah.
Sundarius would get, like, the spot 12 seconds here and there. Even guys who contributed, like Taiwall and stuff, and Milos.
Mm-hmm.
It seems fine to be at 13.
Yeah, well, when the 10 deep is so deep.
Yeah. It's not like the Rockets when they were running like, I think at one point they had like 11 guys on their roster.
Yeah.
But they were only like 6 or 7 actually deep.
Yeah,
for regular
sure.
season stuff.
I think that's going to make it hard to find playing time. And I feel like a broken record, but like we got to find time to develop these younger guys.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Shamit has you know, already cut out a place in the rotation.
Yep.
So I feel like that's pretty shored up. But, you know, there's so much excitement surrounding these young guys and so much uncertainty. I mean, slash still excitement for me for Jerome Robinson.
For sure.
So, I don't know. And I guess the names on this list, if we were to add any of them, it would be in a real limited role, and I feel like the best you're getting out of that is maybe a sort of mentorship for somebody who's already on the team.
Exactly.
If you can't, like, let's say Zubats maybe doesn't get the amount of playing time that he really needs to develop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see any reason why he would get less than 15 or so minutes a game. But just having someone with that sort of experience on the roster, I think, is like provides the intangible benefits.
Yeah, and in terms of load management, like none of these guys would really be providing that much crucial load management.
No,
on this of who's
no, we'd be
now.
Providing load like, management for them. They like would you know
yeah, exactly,
they would just have
yeah.
to come in for like 7-8 minutes a game and
yeah you know. And do their thing, I guess. But I think I'm okay with standing pat with our current roster.
Yeah.
It makes the money a little easier. Not that that's the biggest issue when you have the richest owner in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
but it's just kind of it's one less thing to think about.
Yeah.
And our roster's dope.
It is.
Sometimes I'll just wake up and just read it. We have a great question about the roster from Renee in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Australia.
Shout out Australia.
No idea what time it is over there right now.
Big thanks to all of our international listeners. We love it.
Yes, we do love it. Renee in Australia says, my biggest concern is mindset from the rest of team.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi and Paul George arrive. The rest of the roster cannot afford to lose that chip on their shoulder just because we landed these two stars.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts? 3 question marks.
I mean,
I agree with the point.
I do agree with the point. This isn't that roster that I'm worried about that
I don't
for.
Think it's happening.
So, on one hand...
Fair concern.
On one hand, you know, Pat... just got his big payday. I think that there
bought his
is...
Bought mom a house. Shout out to being a good son.
Yeah, there's... You know, there's... I guess sometimes the thought that goes around, whether true or untrue, that guys maybe have less pressure to succeed once they've kind of gotten that big contract.
Yeah.
Pat, to me, is the opposite of that.
Yeah. He's going to, I think, find every single person who said he's not worth that contract, and that's what he's going to read.
Oh, yeah.
Doc
100%.
Said something about that. Doc had a great quote in the playoffs of like, Pat doesn't need anything to be more amped up,
yeah.
but he still looks for things to be more amped up.
Well, it was when the Mueller report was released, and he was like, he probably saw something in the Mueller report
yeah.
that made him mad about tonight's game.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Bev I'm not worried about.
Yeah.
He took less money, too, is the other comforting thing.
He took
less money to be with us.
He took a little bit less money.
Which I think he's also might use as like, this is why I took less money because we got the chip memory. Hopefully,
JaMychal Green got paid, but has the option to earn more. Like he could earn more even from us
for
if
sure.
he shows it well. And then you got your guys like Trez and Lou, who as great as they are still coming off the bench. So that chip never goes away.
And Trez contract year.
Yeah.
All Trez can do this year is maximize his value.
Absolutely.
Which, compared to last year, I don't know how much more max you're going to get mm-hmm. just because he played so well. It's not like I don't think he can play better, but
yeah,
he adds a couple things to his game, he's in line for...
If this year is another year of linear improvement to the degree that last year was...
We might not be able to keep him.
Yeah, we're looking at some cap...
issues.
Juggling. I don't really know how to make it work.
Here's a low-key situation. Is Trez now the most valuable asset we have? In terms of trading, I'm not saying that there's anything out there that we would, but the man is a sixth man of the year candidate.
It's interesting. So to me,
he's so valuable to our team, which is one of those things we talk about.
He's so valuable to our team. I think
specifically,
I think to me, if I'm either a trade receiving, if I'm a team receiving this end of the trade,
okay,
I'm not taking Trez without Lou.
Oh.
Not that Trez isn't super valuable and he could absolutely provide
but it's
a bunch of value
that,
on his own.
It's clear
but
the
like,
connection.
Lou is the Trez whisperer. Everyone knows this.
I love that.
You know, he keeps him calm down. He keeps a cool head on him. And
their play styles complement each other.
Their play style,
perfectly.
Like, it's just, and it's not that either on their own isn't a completely valid player that would be worth giving up a bunch of assets for.
100%.
But if I'm receiving this trade, I'm trying to maximize my value.
Yeah. But yeah, he is an interesting piece. I don't think we move him at all. Not even like an inkling in my head, but it could be a piece. So Renee, I don't think we're worried it's going to happen with these guys.
Oh, and then I guess a couple more guys.
Yeah. Magruder.
Magruder, you know, he didn't get to play in the playoffs.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
He wants to play.
Yeah.
Got waived. All the young guys.
Everybody who comes back from being waived is never trying to get in that position again.
Yeah.
Shamit had a great year last year.
Never cheated.
He has so much more to prove this year.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was an unknown entity last season.
Yeah.
No disrespect to him.
And he hit some big shots. Man, I was looking at his shot chart in the game against Boston in the comeback in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter, 4 of 5 from three.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But yeah, and he's going to have a bigger spotlight this year.
Mm-hmm.
No matter whether he starts or is on the bench, just by virtue of there are going to be, I think, a lot of times where he's sharing the floor with George and Kawhi.
Yeah.
All
the rookies, they're rookies.
They're rookies, yeah. And I think even like Paul George, he had a rough playoffs.
He's got something to prove too.
He had a rough end of the season. Kawhi maybe has the least to prove. Not maybe. Kawhi has the least to prove,
yeah,
but he's still
sure.
Kawhi.
Yeah, he's going to want to. He wants to prove to everyone that he made the right decision by coming home, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
And also just as a F you to Nike.
Yes. Oh, we're going to get into that. Also, I tweeted out the picture of that drawing. I laugh every time I look at it. It's not because it's a bad drawing. It's just so funny. He probably went through 10 of those drawings just by himself in his dorm room. Should we touch on the report that came out right before we started recording that the Lakers felt played by Kawhi during their pitches or whatever?
Yeah, we can talk briefly about it.
Anthony Irwin, host of Locked On Lakers, one of them, fantastic guy, good host, wrote a very good blog piece about how people just, like, both sides just need to move on.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter, dog.
And I can understand, like, feeling a little bit cheated or whatever. It sucks when the guy that you want doesn't end up coming there.
For sure.
But the thing is I don't think that he toyed with them in the, sense that he was never going to go there.
And he didn't say, I'm going to sign with you.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't toy with them by saying, I'm really leaning your way.
I think all three teams that waited it out, I mean, they had a serious shot at getting him. I really
for sure.
think that.
Yeah.
All three teams had a for real shot at getting Kawhi.
And he just, I think, wanted one star. He didn't want
two
stars, one of which being LeBron. So I don't think he got played. It's a weird report to leak. And also, I don't know, don't leak a bunch of information when you're trying to court Kawhi.
Yeah.
We didn't say anything. We got him. Coming up after this, we're talking some duos in the Pacific Division. Want to give a shout out to the Himalaya app? Some of you might be listening to us on there right now.
You should be.
Some of you might be getting your mountaineering gear ready too.
Summit the mountain of paws with the Himalaya app.
So welcome to the best duos in the Pacific Division section.
1-2-1-2.
There's some good ones this year.
Yes.
Will and I were talking about how fun it is that duos are the new hotness as opposed to the big three.
Yeah.
It's cool to have all the rotating pieces around there. So we took the combined stats from last year. One duo, these are going to be kind of skewed from in particular, but we know they're good as hell, so whatever. Let's start with the Warriors.
Are we ranking these or?
Let's just present them without comment now and kind of rank as we go. Because some of the numbers, it's interesting. So with the Warriors, we went with Steph and D'Lo.
Solid.
I think that's fair. Combined 48-9-12.
Beastly.
On splits of 45-39-84.
Yeah.
Combined 23s per game.
Combined for 23s per game? A lot
yeah.
of shooting. What actually impresses me the most about this combo is the defensive rating.
Mm-hmm.
Like this crew together is like a net plus 3. And the defensive rating is 110, which is like pretty solid.
That's
it's
average.
Like average.
Yeah.
It's average to pretty good.
Yeah.
Which a little bit surprises me.
The D'Lo part surprised me that his defensive rating wasn't so bad.
The Steph Curry one surprises me too. He's not a bad defender by any means. He just has physical limitations.
For sure. Yeah.
So I think that I think that this combo can work a lot better than we've been giving it credit for. I sometimes find myself forgetting, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, the Warriors have Steph and D'Lo together in the backcourt now.
Yeah.
Huh.
And Draymond Green. Like, it's pretty crazy, man.
Still a very good team. I'm excited to see what D'Angelo Russell does in this system.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kenny Atkinson's a great coach too, but
shout out Kenny Atkinson. Longtime listener.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see just the new kind of plays they have running. I mean, Steph, you know, can work so well off ball.
Yeah.
And adding that little bit of youth in transition to an already punishing transition team. I think, I think there are going to be some nights that these guys are going to run people off the floor.
Early. The Lakers, we have LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
These are some nasty numbers. 53, 18, and 12.
That's all right. The three-point shooting is a bit of a concern. They combined for 33% from three.
So their splits were 51, good, 33, not good, 73, fine, 9 threes per game. All, let's say most 8 of those are coming from LeBron. 3, maybe, are coming from AD.
Something like that. I think they might want him to take more threes now.
Yeah. With an offensive rating of a buck 18 and a defensive rating of 106.
I think that this defensive rating is...
Skewed.
Yeah.
Hmm. Why so?
Well, these are based on last year's numbers.
Which it is. So, yeah, this is the one duo I was saying is a little skewed.
Yeah, playing time for AD is a little bit of a concern. He is a really great defender. LeBron...
Remains to be seen, I would say.
He had a trash defensive showing last year.
I know.
I'm not a LeBron hater at all.
We are very pro LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest.
Yeah, but part of me is he had some bad defensive showings last year. We've all seen the supercut or whatever on YouTube. I got to get better. Side note, I need to get better at not watching these supercuts because it influences my view of the player too much. When you're putting all negative things in just one two-minute clip, it looks really bad. You know what I'm saying?
I see. I think if you're only watching that, that's an issue.
For sure.
But it's like, I mean, you also see the other side. I mean, and LeBron still averaged, what, like
27, 7, and 7 or whatever the LeBron is.
Yeah.
So the defensive rating is a little skewed. And these guys, I think the 53, 18, and 12 is going to have to be higher next year for them to have championship success.
I think.
Right?
I think, and once again, this just ties back into our last point. If LeBron is unable to like get some stops on the other end, I think the offensive output is going to have to be higher.
AD's going to have to do a bunch of covering for Boogie on defense for a couple of guys. And it's who's going to guard the point guard when the Lakers are playing you? Not Avery Bradley. Not Rondo.
I mean, that's what they want to use. They want to use Avery Bradley in like the on-ball defender role.
Everyone else wants him to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
like do your thing, Lakers. But no, that's a fearsome duo. We're getting down. Now we got the Clippers.
Oh yeah,
these numbers are great too. For this one, we went with Sindarius, Thornwell, and Boban. We went with Paul George and Kawhi. 54, 15, and 7. On splits of 47, 37, and 84, combined 15 threes per game. Paul George taking 10 of those last year. Offensive rating, buck 17. Defensive rating, 105. Stacks up pretty pat with LeBron and AD.
I would say these per 100 possession numbers for the defensive offensive rating are probably pretty close to what we can expect. Like pretty close to what is.
I think the D rating might be.
To what's real.
A tiny bit higher just because Paul George was on that Thunder team and they had a great defense.
Yeah, I don't know. He was the anchor of that defense, if you ask me.
All right.
So I guess my biggest concern with this duo is a little bit the playmaking. And I flip-flop back and forth on this all the time because I've run the numbers a couple times on like NBA stats, which I believe are provided by Spectrum Numbers. And both of these guys are pretty elite handling the ball in terms of points per possession.
Yes.
Granted, they're not running. They're not the primary ball handler in the pick and roll as much as, you know, say you're Lou Williams.
How you say?
But I think the thing that's going to have to step up combined from them is going to have to be more than 7 assists, especially just given that we don't, I mean, on our first unit, I just feel like we still don't have the point guard that is like the play,
a Rondo, if
the playmaking guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
the assists will bump up, especially if they're going to be staggered, which we assume they probably are definitely going to be staggered a little bit. Yeah, the distribution's a little worrisome, but also we have so many ball handlers now.
Yeah.
That we might see this weird thing. I still think the Clippers are in the middle of revolutionizing how minutes and lineups work. We might see this weird thing where maybe we have the most guys ever on a roster who average more than 5 assists a game or something like that.
That'd be wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no one averaging like 12 or 10 or 9, but like 6 or 7 guys who are like...
I don't know about 7 guys with 5 assists.
You never know. I don't know. Or like, okay, 5 guys who are averaging 5 assists per game.
That's wild.
We got a bunch of ball handlers and no true distributor.
Yeah.
It's Friday, man. I'm getting loose. You want to run down this, your Suns?
Yeah. My Suns!
they got a good duo.
Got Booker and Ayton. I'm surprised that you went this duo. I would have gone Rubes and Book.
Rubes and Book? Oh, that's fair.
So they are combining for 42, 14, and 9. Really solid.
Those rebound numbers are good.
Can't shoot from 3, really. But I'm guessing that's because Ayton's numbers are dragging this down.
Ayton had like a 0.01%. He had like 0.1 attempts per game.
That makes
on
sense.
On like 0.3%. So I just took Booker's 3-point percentage.
That's
which is 32%.
But on 7 attempts a game, yeah. You know. the most efficient man in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
A net rating of -2. So they're getting scored on more than they're scoring points.
Yes. But also some of that could be personnel.
Some of that could be personnel.
Some of it is also Devin Booker not being maybe the best defender.
Yeah.
I've come around on Ayton.
Oh, yeah. He's got a little bit better. I think that he has room to improve. I think that Rubio might help the defense a little bit.
Interesting. I don't think anyone's ever thought that about Ricky Rubio.
I mean, he played for the Jazz, so I feel like he became more of like a system player and understands it a little bit more. I also think, and maybe I'm just lying to myself, I think maybe this will be the season, maybe it'll be next season, but I do think that Devin Booker is going to come to the realization that if he, you know, puts as much or even half of the effort that he applies on the offensive end on defense, it's going to result in what you call more wins.
Look, dude, true hoopers do one thing. They hoop, okay? So whatever Booker wants to do, I like this duo a lot. I'm not saying they're better than any other duo in here. I actually think they're maybe the second worst. But it's nice that your two pieces are a big guy and a little guy. I think that's kind of nice floor space, right? Especially if Ayton develops some kind of outside shot, which he kind of toyed with. Not like a three-point shot, but like a mid-range. Yeah. He kind of toyed with it. But also, part of me doesn't believe in this duo because of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an issue.
What is this? This is Booker's 5th coach?
Yeah.
And this is Ayton's 2nd in 2 years? Like, that's what freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I hope Monty Williams can do his thing.
What about or Booker and Oubre?
Dude, Oubre. Shout out Oubre's eyes, bro. They're looking at us. They're looking at everyone right now.
Disappear in those things.
Disappear. All right, and then we got the Kangs.
Kangs.
Went with Hield and Fox.
Naturally.
This one was a little, other than the splits, this one I think was a little disappointing to me.
So, what's disappointing about a combined 38, 9, and 10?
I just thought the points, I guess I thought the, honestly, I thought the assists would be higher. Got a pretty true point guard in Fox.
Yeah, but it's like the second highest out of these.
Yeah, I just didn't like it.
not high enough for Chuck.
Yeah, not high enough.
But all right, that's fair.
They had 38, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
The splits are great. 45, 40, and 80 on 11 threes per game.
That's, you know, that's right. That's exactly what you want.
That's meaty. Offensive rating 111, defensive rating 112.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
No. But it's just, you know, I think they're going to make a jump this year. Again.
I think they're going to make a jump this year. I think they could improve defensively for sure.
I just wish they wouldn't have gotten rid of Jaeger.
Yeah.
Jorger, sorry.
Fox has everything that it takes to, like, be a good defender. Yeah. He's, like, got a long frame.
He's so fast.
He's insanely athletic.
He's so fast, bro.
I don't think he ever gets tired.
He doesn't. And I don't think Hield does either. This is another team like that D'Lo and Steph where it's like, dude, if you're not sprint, like, they're going to run you off
watching,
the court.
Watching the Warriors play the Kings is, like, that's prime time NBA to be watching.
That's going
to
be fun. So which of these duos do you think is the best regular season.
Best regular season. Oh, man. So many good ones on here. If I'm going... Oh, dude.
It's hard.
Man.
The Pac Div is stacked this year. Are divisions going to matter at all this year? No, probably not.
They don't matter. They never matter.
They never matter.
I'm still going to give the edge to Paul George and Kawhi, but this is going to be assuming two caveats, which is...
caveats. Basquiats.
Assuming that they play, hopefully, at least 55 games together.
Yeah.
Which I
think that's fair to say for LeBron and AD, too. And kind of
well,
Steph
that's D-Lo. that's why I'm putting LeBron and AD below this thing is I'm questionable about the durability of that lineup.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. And we know Paul George is gonna be out a little bit for sure.
For sure, and you know we still don't know what we're gonna be doing with these guys on back to backs,
mm-hmm.
how much we're gonna stagger them. But I would say, in terms of potential. Yeah, it's got to be Paul George and Kawhi for me, and I realize that's biased, but the thing for me that you also have to consider is like the surrounding talent.
Yeah.
And I feel like the talent surrounding both of these guys has them primed to like, and I know we're talking just duos, but the effort
you have to exert as a duo is important.
Yeah, the talent surrounding this duo I just feels like enables them to, I don't know. It removes the ceiling. It takes off the governor, all right?
Okay, I like that. And they can honestly, not that I want them to do this, there's some nights they can just take off.
Absolutely.
I have the Clips first too. I think we both have LeBron and AD second.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard. You can't deny that duo.
Yeah. Well, or Steph and D'Lo.
I was going to put Steph and D'Lo third, kind of because of the supporting cast situation too.
Yeah.
And just because D'Lo, I guess, you know, AD's a big fit too, but there might be some fit issues with D'Lo and Steph. That's going to be some kinks I might have to work out.
I think that's fair. I think that it's going to be different just because, yeah, I mean, they've had so much consistency and continuity for the last three seasons and the overarching last, you know, forever seasons. Yeah. So tossing a new guy in the backcourt is going to be something that they haven't done forever.
For a very long time. And then I'm going to go... Based on pure duos, I'm going Booker and Ayton over Hield and Fox.
Oh, I disagree.
That's fair. I'm sure most people do. But I like Booker and Ayton. We kind of talked about the supporting cast a little bit. They have a better supporting cast this year than they do last year. It's just a little bit better. Booker, I really like point Booker, but it just kind of doesn't work. The distribution, it just doesn't work.
Well, he doesn't have the supporting cast to really help it work at all.
So, like, now this year, I think it's cool he can get back to maybe more of a two and play points sometimes a little better. But it's a close second. I'm not saying they're miles ahead of Hield and Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also maybe thinking Ayton might make a big jump this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that remains to be seen. But you're going Kings ahead of the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can also see that. Probably a better supporting cast than the Suns. Better organization. Better familiarity.
Hield was great last year. Yeah. I think he deserved more stronger consideration for most improved player. I actually would have put
him shunned.
I feel like I would have put him over Pascal Siakam, and I know that that's not a popular opinion, but
recency bias with Pascal too.
Yeah, for sure.
For longer.
But and I think that he has. I think that he has the ability to get even better next year, and then I mean Fox, man.
I love De'Aaron Fox.
Just the more. It's like when a deer or something is like too strong when it's little and it's like so strong that it's just like flinging itself over stuff with like,
and it's like
zero control
it
over
knows,
its body.
It knows how to jump, but it doesn't know like that it can go as far as it is going to go.
Yeah, and I feel like that was kind of De'Aaron Fox's like almost first year was that like
he's got the shaky legs.
Yeah, and he like, you know, all the raw athletic ability
just sprinting
is there.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like when you see guys who come back from an injury or something and they're like they're trying to do too much. They're like very anxious.
Saw that last
but I
year.
Feel like the game is like slowing down more and more for him, and I think that he's also poised to take another big jump this year.
Yeah. So. Anytime the game is slowing down for someone who is already the fastest player in the league, it's not good for everybody else.
Yeah.
Let us know what you guys think about the duo situation, or let us know what you think if there's any other duos in the Pac-Div.
Well, There's no other teams in the Pac-12.
Well, I mean, like, on each team.
I see.
You don't, no, we added the team this year. We added the Seattle Vapes, dude. They're on the team now. They're in the division now. Coming up next, we have some Love, Marry, Kill. I want to give a quick shout-out to Hotels.com. It's just a place to find hotels in a new city.
Yeah.
What else do you need? Don't go to Airbnb.
No, it's bad. It's bad for neighborhoods.
They're bad for communities.
It's bad for communities.
Stay at a hotel. It's nicer. You don't got to do laundry.
Yeah.
No one's going to roll through and ask how everything's doing. It's not, you know, like some weird
Sometimes there's like a good free continental breakfast. I'm a sucker for a continental breakfast.
And you know where you can find those?
Hotels.com.
Hotels.com. So all right. Welcome to Love, Marry, Kill. What do we got today, man? This is a good one. This is an Updike special.
Yeah. So with Gallo gone, who was by many accounts one of the team activities leaders.
Pillars of leadership, I would say.
Bringing a lot of people out for setting up dinners, you know.
They had the, what was the Danilo Gallinari party?
A pizza party.
Pizza party. Workout. Wasn't it workout? And wasn't it like lift weights and pizza party with Danilo Gallinari?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a fun time.
So we've got some new team building activity ideas.
What's the squad going to do?
Some ideas include a trip to Kawhi's bee farm. Because he has a bee farm. He's very into...
He finds the buzzing calming.
To be very soothing. Sometimes he just goes in no suit and lets them swarm him.
He just stands there with his arms
He's out. So peaceful, they don't ever get scared.
Does he have a bee farm? I'd love it if he did.
What else do we have on here? A Paul George ghost tour of Palmdale.
And there's a lot of ghosts
He's
in
very
Palmdale.
Into aliens. He's very into ghosts.
And Palmdale is spooky, I would say.
And Terrence Mann's fresh clam jam. It's a clam dinner.
He's from Lowell, Mass.
It's a clam bake.
He's from Lowell, Mass. They got clams over there. Boston, famously known as Scranton with clams. You got any other ones you got to add on here? You love adding stuff.
I do love adding stuff. I don't know. We'll see how the moment strikes me.
I'm going to add a throwback from one of our party Love, Marry, Kill.
I already know what it is.
Wine in a box with Ivica Zubats.
Oh, I love that. I'm also going to toss back another throwback,
yeah,
which is the Laundry Jam It.
Dude,
which is where you do your laundry together in a laundromat and get drunk.
Full disclosure, we've been doing Laundry Jam It's the past couple Tuesdays at my apartment. It's fantastic.
It's been great for friendship. And,
yeah, it's a good time.
And doing laundry. It's been terrible staying up 1 o'clock in the morning yeah, and then going to work at 6 the next
when
day.
When two couples are doing 4 people's worth of laundry, you're like, oh, where'd the time go? All right. So I'm loving Terrence Mann's Fresh Clams Jam.
Okay.
I think he would be a great host.
So it's not a clam bake.
Well, it is, but I needed it to rhyme.
Okay.
Terrence Mann's Fresh Clam Jam sounds better than Terrence Mann's Fresh Clam Bake.
That's fair.
I'm going to go that. He's a great distributor, as we saw in Summer League.
Hi-yo.
No one's going hungry. You know? He's from Massachusetts. He knows what a good clam tastes like.
Yeah.
And it'd be a fun time. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be a youthful energy to it because he's a rook. I think the team would really be into it.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley would be sitting on an old crate playing spades, yelling at the young guys, which he wanted to do on July 4th. I missed his tweet. I was going to tweet at him. He was like, where are the real parties at? And I was like, I'm having a barbecue. I'm going to marry the bee farm.
Yeah.
The bee farm seems great because I think half the team would be really into it and then the other half would not get out of the car. And I think Kawhi, like you said, would be there, black t-shirt, shorts.
Yeah.
Sandals amongst the bees.
What is the word for beekeeping as a hobby? Apiary?
Apiarist. Apiarist? I believe it's something. I'm only remembering that from that scene in The Office. But I think Kawhi's bee farm I'm marrying because that seems fun as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a, it seems like a very Kawhi thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's the internet. He's the actual internet.
He's the sentient internet.
And also, he might be the only person keeping all the bees alive in the world. That's a big concern right now.
Wow. Man, he's got a lot of heavy stuff weighing on him.
He's got so much stuff on his plate. And then I think I'm going to have to kill Paul George's ghost tour of Palmdale.
Oh, I disagree. I'm loving Paul George's ghost tour of Palmdale.
I would only love it if Afro Man joined him because he is also a famous Palmdalian.
He is a famous Palmdalian.
Palmdalian, yeah. So, okay, so you're loving the ghost tour.
I'm loving it. Just, Ghost tours are such a weird phenomenon.
I did one in Denver with my girlfriend, and it was so fun.
The mix of people who go is always very bizarre. So there's always...
there's an old white group.
There's an old white group. There's always a very young couple.
Yes.
A couple teens.
Yes.
And then some drunk karate folks.
So my ghost tour, this was very funny. The ghost tour we did of Denver was my girlfriend and I, mm-hmm. the drunk rowdy folks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an outdoor one in downtown. So you just walked around. So we like brought a flask or whatever. And then we had a group of like older white people who were just like, whoa, all the whole time. And then two couples, one of which was a young Mexican couple. And then the other was a young Korean couple. I don't think either of those couples spoke the whole tour.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were of just like, you know, what the hell? They've looked around like, what the hell are we doing?
And
we're teenagers.
The other thing about ghost tours, they're always hosted or led by a mentally unhinged person.
An aspiring...
It's a very strange... Like, they wanted to be an actor or actress.
Yep.
It did not work out.
They're an aspiring Nat Geo host.
Yes. They, you know, they have some issues going on. So part of me is imagining Paul George is a very old man doing this. Because he's, you know, he's brushing up on his skills to do it.
Okay. So which one of these are you marrying?
I gotta marry the Landry Shamit Laundry Jammet.
Get the Laundry Jammet.
I'm a firm believer in Laundry Jammets. Put it out there. Everybody should be doing it. And
on Tuesday away games, we should have Laundry Jammets while we watch the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's for a different day.
I'm gonna actually kill Terrence Mann's fresh clam jam.
God damn.
I've never been to a clam bake.
It's a clam jam. People are playing basketball too.
I'm more of a raw oyster on the half shell guy myself.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
That's better.
You think the team would not have fun at Terrence Mann's fresh clam jam?
No, some people are allergic to shellfish. It's a very common allergy.
Okay, there's other food. They got crackers in the back. Is that good for you?
Nobody wants lame crackers.
They're oyster crackers. Let us know which one of these activities you guys would love the team to go on.
Yeah, if you guys have any ideas for a team building activity, you know, let us know.
Also, do you guys like Love, Marry, Kill? We get very little feedback on it, which makes me think everyone loves it. That wraps up for our Friday show, you guys. What do we got going on Monday? We got the Freshies.
Yeah, we got the Freshies. I don't know. We'll come up with some stuff to talk about. It's a very slow time in the NBA, but don't worry. We're going to get you through it.
We're mining that kind of. We got our hard hats on. We got our respirators. We're down there.
All the canaries are dying.
We're down on those content mines. We'll be back with you guys on Monday to discuss whatever might happen between now and then in Clipperland. If you're new to the pod, again, welcome.
Yeah.
Rate us. Subscribe.
Don't forget to check us out on the Himalaya app.
Come through. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Let's go, Clips!